come from a place of joy, like the most thoroughly satisfied customer that is possible, right? This joy that heaven is our future home, that it is what God created us for. And we need to have a confidence in that. That needs to be a life-changing, intoxicating. It messes you up. It makes you permanently intoxicated with the love of the living God. Well, some of us have just celebrated Reformation Day. You don't know what that is? Google it. Read it. How many years ago a monk nailed 95 statements on a door? Why? Because the church had become a place of legalism, a place of no longer just by grace through faith have you been saved, but instead because of deeds or paying certain fees. But no, that's false, and the church cannot become that place again. We cannot twist and manipulate and perverse the scriptures. No. God, our sins, paying everyone life. You know, I'm so excited. I've got to control myself to articulate this message well. So let me just bring your attention to the screen where we have kind of our big three, our way of expressing our purpose as a people, as a church. This is our way of expressing that and describing what we see in the scriptures. We are here to be helping people connect with Jesus, grow in faith, and share His love. If you're with me, this is your home church. Why don't you say that with me? Let's say it together. We are here to be helping people connect with Jesus, grow in faith, and share His love. Now you got the groove. We can do better than that. One more time. We're here to be helping people connect with Jesus, grow in faith, and share His love. Right? It's our purpose. It is what we are here for. So I'm going to title our talk tonight, maybe my most nonsensical title of the year, Jesus Mission, people. And there's many different ways you can express this. Is it the mission of Christ, which is people? Jesus Mission is people. And it's Jesus Mission, people. What did Jesus say when He was asked why He was walking this earth? On the screen you see the quote from Dr. Luke 19:10. He said, I'm here to seek and save the lost. We need to respond on the message we heard last week about joy in that heaven is our destiny with so what? So what does that mean about how I live my life? Do I have purpose in this life? And if I am following Jesus, what does that mean? Well, I want to articulate tonight what it means to follow Jesus in some ways, to seek and to save the lost. Before we get to Matthew 28, Jesus was asked what the most important text in your Old Testament was. And He said, this is it. Love God with all you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. A golden rule wasn't the idea of some quotable atheist. Hello? Jesus said, love God with all you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. What else did Jesus say about how we should respond? Well, Matthew quotes, and as the others do, that His message everywhere He went, the thing that He said the most was, repent of your sins and turn to God. And we understand what that means. That word repentance means I was going in this direction, living for myself, living based on my own ideas, and now I see the foolishness of that, and I turn, and I start to head in a completely different direction. I am no longer living to please myself. I am no longer living by my own ideas. That's what that word means that Jesus said over and over and over as He was announcing and introducing new life in the kingdom of God and describing what it meant and describing the joy of, hey, you don't have to live by 20,000 rules, but there is a joy, there is a life, there is a And for those of you that were here in our prayer time, which we always pray at 4:30, please come. Prayer is the most important activity of this church. Prayer is the most important activity of this church. Prayer is the most important activity of this church. Prayer is the most important activity of this church. You know the popularity of God in a church by the attendance at the prayer meeting. Prayer is the most important activity of the church. The enemy will come. This is not tonight's message. The enemy will come and bring distractions to you to stress you out, to deter you, to defer you, to misdirect you in another way so that you don't have the energy for the activity that God does want you to do with your life, which is to expel the enemy out of your region, out of your home, out of your workplace, out of your neighborhood, and out of this city. And guess what? That will not happen without prayer. Prayer is a must. Concluding this mini message, prayer is the most important activity of the church. Yes. Okay. Well, oh, how I got off on that. Ben was praying this message tonight. This is not an adding to your to-do list. No. Jesus said, I came to give you life and that to the full. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. But so many of us are so weighed down, we feel like I can't do the things of Jesus because my own life is destroying me. God wants you to come to the foot of the cross and let go of some things you're carrying that He did not ask you to carry. Yeah. Ooh, that was good. That was... God wants you to come to the foot of the cross and set down some things that He didn't ask you to carry. What I'm not trying to do tonight is add legalism to you while we celebrate Reformation Day. That would be backwards. Jesus said, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, are you there? Let me read it from the New Living. Verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and told His disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How many of you would like to have Jesus with you all the time? This is how that happens. Okay? So we summarize that. By pulling from the original language, because the English just doesn't really do Jesus' words justice here, with the phrase you see on the screen, urge others to become followers of Jesus in the way. And the all nations is quite literally saying people of all ethnicities. Look around the room. We're getting close. Right? All right? So, let me use the paraphrase of a scholar and a pastor who pastored in the suburbs of Baltimore of this passage from Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20. It's on the screen. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave His charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. What's our title tonight? Jesus, mission people. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day, right up to the end of the age. Now, how did they respond? We see in Acts 2. Acts 2 is a really important text to this church. How did they respond? They devoted themselves to all that Jesus taught. They had fellowship. They had parties. They built intentional relationships. They shared meals and they prayed. They prayed. They work together strategically. They worship together in big groups. And they ate together in homes. That's where we derive our stated purpose. We're here to be helping people connect with Jesus, grow in faith, and share His love. It's our purpose. It's how we describe what we do, why we do. It's not because we have a new idea. Listen, I know that I'm the white guy from the West Coast. I know we're the non-denominational church, even though we're a part of a network, right? I know we're the charismatics in the neighborhood, the born-agains. But listen, we're not here because we think we've got new ideas. Now, I'm not against creativity. I think that we serve the most creative person in all of history. God is the most creative one. And I think that ministry should be creative. I'm not against new ideas, but when it comes to the foundation that my life as a house is built on and that this church as a house is built on, the foundation is not based on my ideas. It's not based on new ideas. It's based on ancient ideas that come from the Creator. Are you glad that's how we operate? Right? And we follow the pattern of the New Testament, eldership and everything else that's there. That's what we do. That's why we do it. That's how we do it. Now, this is a heart thing. Are you feeling it? But I want to use more words to try to articulate it. Are you ready for some more words? Okay. How do we do this connect, grow, share thing? I'm glad you asked. We connect by gathering on weekends for worship. You're here. We connect by gathering on weekends for worship to receive and respond to His love. When you come here, you don't come here for me. Right? You don't come here to prove you're a better person. You don't come here to earn more points. Man, that's good. We connect by gathering on weekends for worship to receive and respond to His love. There's something in the Scriptures called the Sabbath principle, a first fruits principle, that with the first of your week, you take a day in faith to rest and worship. Listen, if you're exhausted, maybe we're not Sabbathing the right way. A couple years ago, I was exhausted and I had to stop, and I had some men in my life that said, hey, examine my whole life. It's like, oh, I'm not Sabbathing the right way. There's a difference between just a day off and resting and worshiping and reflecting on God's goodness. And what I discovered is I wasn't doing enough of reflecting on God's goodness. It really helped me. It really helped me. It was a good thing. That's how we connect. Of our big three, the C, we connect by gathering on weekends. We grow by meeting in small groups for prayer, learning, and sharing life. That's how we grow. Now, we believe in learning. But here's what one thing that I have learned. Can I have your attention just real quick? Everybody look at me real quick. Never in all of human history has it been easier for you to access Christian information. Never in all of human history has it been easier or cheaper for you to hear from a lot of sources. And also, never in human history has it been easier for you to hear from bad sources. There's a reason that the Bible talks about false teachers. You can get access to all the teaching in the world that you want, but here's something that I have learned. The only truth we possess is that which we live. There's a reason why I keep our teaching simple. Because my job is to equip you, put tools in your hands, and help you take next steps. And until we're taking the next steps, we gotta stick with the basics. Right? Not a positive, negative thing, it's a life cycle thing. Are you with me? Right? We need to grow. So the reason we don't do midweek service, the reason we don't do a lot of extra activities is because I want you to have time to have a life. So thank you. Come on, somebody, right? And I want you to have time to be able to enjoy getting together in homes. Right? Share. How do we share? We share by living like Jesus and sharing His love. Live like Jesus, share His love. Living like Jesus, sharing His love every day and everywhere. We do this in a variety of ways. Now, what does this look like? Let me tell you. I see a church, when Rebecca and I prayed, when we moved from our family, when we came here over 5 years ago, this is what we saw, and this is what we still see to this day in this church. We see a church loving Jesus in a way that people talk about. We see a church where people find salvation and healing in Jesus. We see a church helping people find careers and peaceful homes. Come on, that's good stuff, somebody, right? What does Baltimore need more than most stuff? Careers and peaceful homes, right? We see a church where everyone can find a place they fit. We see a church serving the city with love that works. That's good. That's from the Bible. Now, what is the result of that going to be? This should result in peaceful neighborhoods, crime reduction, employment and literacy increase, and a decrease of addictions. Did you know that 1 in 8 Baltimore City residents have an addiction? 1 in 8, one of the highest records in the United States. It will include a better connected effort between existing churches, nonprofit organizations, government agencies, and the business community. Now, our kind of vision calendar cycle, if you will, and this part of tonight's message is for those of you that call this their church home, is it runs October to September. And so what I'd like to do is give you a little bit of perspective of what has changed in the past 12 months in the life of our church, besides where and when we meet. From October 2014 to September 2015, here's some of the stuff that has changed and how it has changed. Now, we didn't expect, come October 2014, that the rotunda was going to get surrounded by fences, and we didn't expect that the theater was going to get shut down. Okay? But let's have a look at what has changed, where we have seen growth. Because whether you realize it or not, this church has grown a lot in the last year. I want to describe what that means to you and help make sure we have a Bible-based evaluation of success. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, there's a halfway point in the message. I can see that I've lost some of you already. It's okay. Let's just do a kind of a mid-show breath. Okay, good. From October 2014 to September 2015, our average Sunday attendance, the number of those that would call us their church home, and the number of adults that are volunteering at least on a monthly basis is almost exactly the same. Almost exactly the same. On an average Sunday, between adults and kids, we have 55. There's 89 people that call us their church home, and there's 40 adults that volunteer to make this church go every month. Okay? Here's some stuff that has increased. Our life groups, small groups, some of them small, some of them big, in that year we've grown from 4 groups to 7. In that year we've grown from 48 people in groups to 92. Did you know that? You might not have known that. 92 between adults and babies, some that still don't come on Sundays, some is a mystery to me, some I know why, but there are 92 people in our small groups. We went from 6 events where we serve the community directly meeting needs in the year before to this past 12 months, 14. I'm not sure we're ready for more than 14. Now, the unrest that we saw in our city provided us some opportunities that we didn't expect. And what I did is I went back over our calendar, looked at all the things that we did, including a lot of stuff that wasn't even originally planned or scheduled. I was surprised, 14 serve events. A year ago, in our resources, we owned very little. In fact, of all the sound equipment and instruments that you see, we owned almost none of it. Did you know that? We were borrowing almost all of it a year ago. Now, we own all of it. It was given to us. That's great. And we've got more gear down in the basement for when we move into another space that has also been given to us. We're given the drum set. How many of you remember the little tiny drum set we had before? This one's a little better, right? Right? We were given the drum set, and the amount of money that comes in every month over the past 12 months has gone up by 10% versus where it was a year ago. That's the 10% you see on the screen. And as we had hoped and prayed, the percentage of money that comes in from the outside to help us pay bills has gone down. We are now down to just 12.5% of money that comes in from the outside to help us pay bills. And what that means is that we are growing stronger, we are growing healthier, we are growing as a congregation. We have seen multiple salvations and rededications. We went from the previous year having water baptized 2 people to last year 6. That's good. 6 people water baptized in the past year. So in the ways that count, in the ways that matter, we are growing. We were growing from, we would send some money every month to some missionaries, to now we support a young man in Haiti. We pay for his education, his health care, his housing. We pay for everything every month. And we've directly met needs in Baltimore. We've directly met needs in other countries over the past year that go way and above what we did the year before. So not only are we growing spiritually, we are growing more mature. How many of you think that's a good thing? Now, I want to say that in the past 9 months, every single or family in this church that calls us their church home has gone through a major life challenge. A major life challenge. I started to pay attention. We have grown. And I want to say that I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. There are people in this room, and the things that, to be honest with you, the things that are the most dramatic, we don't talk about very much. Because we believe in dignity and grace and not exposing everyone's dirty. Aren't you glad that we believe in that, right? There are people in this room, and those that couldn't make it tonight, that have made massive life changes. Permanent, full-time, all the time, life changes by the grace of God. We've seen major healing miracles. Do you know that since we moved from the theater to here, we've had first-time visitors almost every week. And over the past 9 months, we've had at least one legit healing miracle every month. God, this church is God's idea. It's God's idea. And He is at work. By volume, most of the families of this church come from Waverly, Penlucy. After that, Hamden, Evergreen, and Remington. We are diverse, as you can see, both ethnically, economically, and educationally. This is a church that reflects what we see in the book of Acts. Now, that might sound overwhelming because I just kind of went meta. Let me go micro real quick, and then we're going to spend some time in prayer. How can I, as an individual, whether I feel overwhelmed by my life, and this all sounds like pie in the sky, how can I, as an individual, be helping people connect with Jesus, grow in faith, and share His love? It's really simple. First, you've got to be connected with Jesus. And that's between you and God. You've got to have a personal, not a one time. It's not the years, it's the hours. You have got to have a personal connection with Jesus. And then out of that personal connection with Jesus, as a love response to Him, not to try to prove who you are, not to try to earn more of God's love, but out of a love thank you to Jesus, it's time to share meals. We could do more eating together. Y'all eat, right? I mean, you got, right? And some of y'all enjoyed chili at my house last night. And we could do more sharing meals with other people. We could do more sharing meals with people who don't know Jesus. We can. You can do it. We can share meals with people that don't know Jesus. I like the fact that Esther, in her dramatic story, did not ask for God's miracle at the first meal. Did you notice that? She chickened out. So she had to do it all again. She had to cook a second meal. Cook a second meal. We've got to share meals with people who don't know Jesus. And we need to be bold. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit for boldness, and invite people to take next steps in following Jesus. That means you, personally, inviting people to next steps. Ben, will you come, please, and lead us into prayer? I'm excited about this next year. I can't wait to see what God's going to do.